Welcome to this special edition of the New Stack Makers on the Road. We're here at the Open Source Summit in Austin, Texas. Discussions from the show floor with technologists giving you their expertise and insights to help you with your everyday work.
Hi, everyone. We're here in Austin, Texas at the Open Source Summit, sponsored by the Linux Foundation. And today, I'm Heather Joslin, as I am every day, and I'm a features editor at the New Stack. And I'm here with Brian Behlendorf. He's general manager of the OpenOSF. And we're going to talk about the open source security mobilization plan. And security seems to be on everyone's minds. So, Brian, I guess I already introduced you, but just tell a little bit about what you do at OpenSFF. Yeah.
So it's the Open Source Security Foundation that I've been leading since about September, although it's been around for about 2 years now. Mm-hmm. And it's really a coming together of companies large and small and individuals who've been active in the open source community focused on addressing how is it that we in the open source community write code? How do we build on top of other people's code? How do we ship things in ways that could be enhanced to provide better reassurance and trustworthiness? I feel often like people trust open source code by default, but presuming it's open, if it has lots of stars on GitHub, it's probably going to be secure, but there's a lot that we really could be doing to meet those high expectations for open source security. So OpenSSF really focuses on that problem.
Okay. I know this week there's been the release from Linux Foundation and also Sneak about the state of open source security. It paints quite a picture. I think it's 41% of organizations said that they're not sure about the security of their open source software. What do you think is the overall message people should derive about the state of open source security?
Well, I think it's been really hard to understand risk in relation to software at all, let alone whether it's open source or not. And I think organizations are increasingly realizing that these earthquakes that happen in the industry, right? The Log4Shell vulnerability, even things like Colors.js, Faker.js, which were these small JavaScript programs that were written by one person and then caused a whole lot of companies that use them to see their websites go blank, right? There's a risk that's hard to quantify, especially these long tail but high impact kinds of risks. And so this is, I think, the software industry this year really woke up to not only the fact these earthquakes were happening and how it's getting more and more expensive to recover from them systematically, but that there are opportunities to improve that. And so the research report was a great way to see that quantified. I think people should be worried about how they're using code and should be more scrutinizing about the dependencies they have and their choices. Because whether it's for databases, for JavaScript frameworks, you have a choice, usually of at least three, if not several dozen different viable and production-ready options in the open source world. But today, rarely do we have better signals than popularity or what's better documented, you know, as like our guide to what to use. Or what are the people tweeting about, right, as like our guide to what to use. But there are objectively measurable kinds of metrics you can look at, in addition to trying to understand, are there real communities around this code pushing out security updates, responding to vulnerabilities as a guide to your choices about which open source projects to use and then which ones to invest back upstream into.
Yeah. Some of these projects don't have a lot of regular maintainers or they may not.
You know, there's a big distribution graph, right, that shows, especially in some communities like the JavaScript and NPM community, some of these graphs are sharper than others. So if you take, for example, number of contributors to a project and then number of projects that have only that many contributors, I think the median number in the NPM community is one. Majority of projects have only one contributor, and they tend to be these small modules, right? Mm-hmm. 100 lines of code or the like, which, you know, I've been in open source for 25 years. Most of the time I've been more at the, here's a community of people working for different organizations, collectively depending upon this code, so contributing a little bit to helping make it happen as maintainers, which not only is better for security purposes, right? Like it's more eyeballs looking at code, because we know open source is only secure because you have multiple eyeballs looking at the same body of code, right? But also participating in approving releases and having architecture conversations as well. But so much recently has been more like the one person kind of project. So leads to security issues, also leads to burnout issues and sustainability issues we hear a lot about.
Yeah. It seems like that we're hearing more about that as well, over time. So I wanted to dive into the OpenSSF and the Linux Foundation have launched the Open Source Security Mobilization Plan. What is this plan designed to do?
So the OpenSSF overall is, I kind of lovingly refer to it as a circus. We've got lots of different folks working on different things, from educational materials for, you know, secure software development best practices, right? We've got actually best practices badge that projects can certify themselves against and a scorecard. We've got software partner like SigStore, which is a new approach to signing software artifacts pervasively through the supply chain in a very approachable, easy to set up way, to standards and specifications like Salsa, which are really about levels of attestation through the software development process. That there was really a rigorous process for the development of this module and that module as it flows through the chain. Like many open source projects, we're very opportunistic, right? People show up, they want to work on a thing, other people are interested. Our job as the Linux Foundation is to give them a space to do that. But earlier this year, the White House came to a bunch of communities and said, you guys seem to be working on some stuff, but what's it going to take to actually solve these problems that these projects aim to address? Like, and what time frame are you going to solve them in? Is it going to take you 10 years, 20 years, right? Yeah. And we couldn't really answer that without being able to say, well, what would it take if we were to invest? Because most of the time, we sit there, we wait for folks to show up and hope for the best. But it spawned us to ask, what would it take to take these educational materials and try to reach millions of people with them, not only to take the course, but also to show that they've passed it? What would it take to get SigStore adopted by the vast majority of open source projects out there as like the default way they do signing?
Yeah.
And so we kind of fanned out as a community, came up with these 10 different, basically business plans, that all of them called for funding, which we were fine. It's not like money is no object, but if we needed an, if there was a way to get enough resources to solve these problems, what would it take? Personally, I thought it was going to be billions of dollars, you know, to solve this, which would still be cheap compared to the positive impact we would have. Across those 10, for the first 2 years of investment on collectively across all 10 streams, it would cost about $150 million.
Okay.
And measurably, those would have, each of those 10 would have a tremendous amount of impact combined. I think we'd make a serious dent in some of these earthquakes, some of the instability that happens through a lack of security in open source code.
And where will the funding come from for that 100?
Like I said, I was telling people, you know, we'll find the funding later. The good news is, so in May, when we published the plan, we held an event in Washington, D.C., again, partly because it was the White House prompting us to think about how to put together a plan. Not that we were going to ask them for funding, but to basically, because look, when governments do allocations of funding, when they decide where to put money, there's all sorts of rules around that. They're not just like, hey, somebody showed up and we wrote a check.
Yeah.
We're not naive about that, right? But we said, let's show what's possible. And as government decides where it's going to invest, they know where they might be able to put some money to put it to work, whether it's through us or whether it's on their own, right? But at that meeting, we brought many of our members together, and collectively our membership said, six of the different organizations in that membership said, we're going to pledge $30 million against these streams. Now, the 150 was really an estimate, and these plans are still being refined, right? But what we'll eventually set up will be basically a funding kind of process to be able to go, when this stream is ready, let's call in some of those pledges. When that stream is ready, let's call some in. And 30 is still not 150, but we have lots of continuing conversations with other types of organizations to potentially contribute to that.
That's great. So I just wanted to pause for a minute. There was some news about SigStore, like there's a new training program, right? You want to talk about that?
So training is at the core of being able to really get adoption for, you know, any open source project, because you know it's one thing to find a GitHub repo, you know, it's another to realize, hey, I can not only come up to speed in an organized way on how this works. It's like, do you remember when O'Reilly books were like the signal that an open source project had arrived?
Yeah.
You know, there's still kind of that, but I think the new signal is there's a course for it, and I can certify to my employer or to potential my next employer that I know what I'm talking about when I say let's use SigStore. So it was great to get the security fundamentals out. We did that last year. SigStore being one of the next kind of major projects from the OpenSSF, we've put out a course for that. Again, it's free. People can take that and certify against that and demonstrate that they've come up to speed. SigStore as well is also mature enough that not a lot's going to change before its 1.0 release, so now is a good time to get that out. And it just means hopefully it can be additive to our effort to get SigStore adopted pervasively across the software landscape. Not just for open source, by the way. You could use SigStore for commercial, for proprietarily licensed software too.
That's great. That's great. When we've written quite a bit about SigStore as well, so just viewers, listeners, you can find that on our site. We've also written about Salsa. You can just search for that on our site as well. So I just want to go through the areas. I'm just gonna list them.
Okay.
And if there's anything in particular when I get to the end that you'd like to highlight for people, let us know. So the 10 areas that are going to be invested as part of the plan are security education, risk assessment, digital signatures, memory safety, incident response, better scanning, code audits, data sharing, improved software supply chain, and S-bombs everywhere. Software bill of materials for all my friends.
Yeah, and I keep getting people coming in going, I've got an 11th, I've got an 12th, you know, and I'm like, but yeah. It, by no means do we think that's the end of the story. There will be, you know, no doubt there's other important things to invest in, but we feel like this is a good combination to focus some efforts on. So yeah.
That's great. That's great. So I just trying to think if there's anything, is there anything else about this plan that you, in terms of how the community can get involved, how?
Yeah. Well, you know, because these are basically business plans, like these are funded kind of entities, we're figuring out now how to like refine the targets, but then also find the types of organizations and individuals who help us actually turn money into security, right? Mm-hmm. Some of those we already have in place, like Alpha Omega and Sigstore have like separate funding vehicles actually for some of their effort. Others will need to spin up brand new parts of OpenSSF, I think, to be able to do that. Others will be working with external organizations like OSTIF around the third-party code audits. That work, we'll be setting up special interest groups within OpenSSF to help refine the plans further, working even more publicly than we were before to help just technically vet and qualify those. And then frankly, it's the funding organizations who will, you know, because they're the ones writing the check, that will go and say, okay, this one is now ready for its first tranche of investment. And if it meets their satisfaction, we can get started on that, right? And that's a delicate thing. That's not something that we do a lot of in open source, right?
Yeah.
But it's a little bit more top down, but it'll be really exciting to pioneer this kind of work. But meanwhile, nothing is being waited on at OpenSSF. There's a lot of things going on. One of the things that we didn't yet talk about is in the Alpha Omega project, which is partly focused on how do we help the most important open source projects with their capabilities around open source development. Mm-hmm. We announced this week that we're making $400,000 grants to each of both the Python Foundation and the Eclipse Foundation to help fund their in-house security teams and also to adopt better standards and practices around security, to do capacity building, to help their community understand the value of that kind of work, eventually hoping their stakeholders pick up the bill for like future years of that, right?
Yeah.
But just to help demonstrate that there's better standards and practices and also help drive some reuse and learning across the different communities that we help fund about best ways to implement a security team, best ways to implement SBOMs, best ways to, you know, do the kinds of things that call for in the plan but are really other parts of OpenSSF.
That's terrific. Well, thank you very much for sharing all this with our audience. Obviously, security is in open source is continuing to be an issue that everyone's concerned about, and looks like your organization is making some strides toward making us everyone's software more secure.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. And this has been TNS On the Road Makers, and we will see you next time.
Thanks for listening. Subscribe on Simplecast to listen to more episodes on the NewStack Makers. Create and share your favorite audiogram using our Simplecast player. For more articles and great stories, go to thenewstack.io.